You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. As always, the show brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, EMP180weightloss.com. I'm JP Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello.
And
What's
Jason
up?
Bishop.
What up?
Joining us right now is our pal Chris Russell, Redskins insider host for 106.7 The Fan. And beyond the Super Bowl, which we can talk to him about, now there are rumors that the Redskins still may tag Kirk Cousins and try and trade
story
him.
Story never ends.
Can you explain how this would work and if any team out there would actually be willing to dance with the Redskins if they tagged him?
I mean, it would be, first of all, good morning, fellas.
Thanks. Hello.
What's up, buddy?
It would be just a crazy Bruce Allen-esque fiasco. I mean, I don't, maybe I'm missing something. I've talked to some agents. I've talked to some people around the league. I talked to fellow media people. We're all trying to figure this out. Why Kirk Cousins, A, would help the Redskins after they basically put a dagger in his back and sort, you know, in a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I know they paid him $44 million. I got it. I understand. But why his agent would be inclined to help them? Here's the biggest problem, okay? You put the franchise tag on him, as Schefter wrote about, as Grant had kind of mentioned, I think, on Saturday night. And if you put the franchise tag on him, like, Kirk would have to sign that franchise tag. Then they would have to trade his rights.
And it would limit – did we lose Chris?
Sounds like
it
rough.
Would limit his ability to hit the open market.
Right.
He would then be sort of at the mercy of the team finding
no
a suitor.
There's no way he would be inclined to sign it.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
don't
the only
get
reason
it.
Why he would sign it would be to lock up the $34 million for 1 year.
Right.
Which and you know, maybe you do that and delay your free agency one more year. But I think he's ready to be a free agent.
Yeah, he's so ready. He's ready
to – I would agree with you.
Turn
I would
the page
agree.
On
I agree
the,
with
the
you.
Redskins.
I don't think he's not going to help the Skins at all. But what if? I'm just saying, what if?
Mm-hmm.
The team that they were working out the trade with was the
team
he really
wanted
to sign with. So let's say it's Denver.
Okay, well, apparently it's Minnesota over the weekend. That was what was reported.
Yeah,
he's been telling people that Minnesota would be, if they had the money, he'd go there.
He loved the Mall of America.
Well,
he was there. He
we
loved
talked
the
about it last week. I mean, that's a great, good situation.
It's a great spot. Yeah. The problem is that why would he do that? Because you're just weakening your team you're going to go to because they're going to have to give up a little extra.
Right.
And
right.
So just wait him out. Don't sign the dumb tag and, you know. It's not going to happen. If it does, it shows you just how personal it's gotten.
Exactly.
And they just really want to stick it to him.
Although he could stick it to him back. Because
I wouldn't put it past him. Is he on the regular line now, or what are we doing? All right, Chris,
could they stick it to him
this
way?
Hey,
could they
tag Hills, I don't
him
know what...
and he refuses to sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just hold him hostage for a year.
Yeah, but they can't sign. That money would be... I don't know if
he doesn't
would,
sign.
I don't know if he would.
If he
sign.
Doesn't sign it,
he doesn't
would
sign
they be
all.
On the hook and not be able to spend money in free agency? How would that work if he didn't sign it?
Yeah, once they put the tender down, mm-hmm. which comes before free agency, then basically they have to hold that money
the
in
money's
place.
Locked up.
Yeah, so
exactly.
It hurts them.
Exactly. So that's why this is so unlikely to happen. Now, what I haven't been able to, like, absolutely 100% get cleared up, which was my question, you know, a couple of days ago, and I've talked to some people, and everybody says no because they've never heard of it, but I don't know if there's anything in the CBA is, like, could they trade his rights? I mean, his contract technically does not expire until the new league year begins. Could they trade his rights, say, I don't know, next week, for argument's sake, to a team that is interested in talking to him exclusively before the league year begins, kind of like they do in the NHL? Now, again, it's never been done in the NFL, but I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do it. I don't know if there's anything preventing it in the CBA. Nobody's ever heard of it. But a couple of people that I've talked to have wondered the same thing. We're all trying to figure out what the hell Bruce Allen and Eric Schaefer are up to.
Hmm. Yeah, it's, maybe it's a good question I could ask D. I could ask him, could they do that?
Just trade the rights before the 14th of March.
Yeah,
because right now Kirk Cousins wouldn't be able to, like, he wouldn't be able to visit with any team. Right. Even if they give him, say, the franchise tag, you know, designation, even during that legal tampering window, even as a free agent, he's not allowed to visit with any team until the new league year, i.e. free agency, begins. So in a way, if, say, Kirk really desired to go, let's just call it the New York Jets, because they have the most cap room and they're more ready to win than the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, he can't talk to the Jets right now. He can't visit the Jets. Kirk is the kind of guy, if it's the same Kirk Cousins that I got to know and covered and whatever, and I don't pretend to be his best friend or anything like that, you know, Kirk is a guy that's going to want to take his time, sometime, be meticulous about where he's going to go. It might be to his advantage to not be a complete free agent if he kind of chooses, hey, you know what, I like what the Jets are building here. Let me meet with them. Let me see. Well, if I can't do that until free agency, that process might take a little bit too long.
Well, let's just say, for the sake of argument, this is a real stretch. It doesn't make sense on both sides. It's not going to happen. Right. What was your take on the game yesterday? I see a lot of people upset with Belichick, particularly with the benching of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't understand necessarily what happened there and why they went that route, but something if you guys remember when the Patriots came here or came to Richmond right after that Super Bowl to visit and practice with the Redskins, he had benched him at the start of that camp. That was less than, what, 7 months after he made that game-stealing interception in the end zone to win the Super Bowl? There was friction between Belichick and Malcolm Butler literally from the start. So I don't want to say I wasn't surprised, because, of course, I was a little bit surprised, but not necessarily surprised in that they went and made a big move to go get Gilmore from the Buffalo Bills. They went and traded for Rowe 2 years ago, who was actually drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, who was a second-round pick. You know, and Belichick is a guy that if you don't practice hard, if you don't study hard, if you don't – and I don't know exactly what happened – he's like, screw, I don't care who you are. And he has kind of treated Malcolm Butler almost like a disease. Like, he doesn't really want him. And, mm-hmm. you know, so maybe that caught up to him at the wrong time. And he's like, I'll show you. And Matt Patricia's like, nah, you know, I'm leaving for Detroit. I don't care what you want to do, you know. And it, you know, kind of caught up to them. Now, I would say this, Nick Foles threw, I mean, you guys know this, Nick Foles threw some absolute seeds in some spots that I don't know who was going to cover. I mean, just some absolute just dimes with very tight windows. So did Malcolm Butler not playing hurt the Patriots? Yeah, sure. But I think it was Nick Foles being really, really accurate in a lot of spots.
Something else happened there. It wasn't just matchups. There's just no way.
I don't know.
Makes sense.
I
mean, frustration over the years.
He was the starter for 97% of their snaps on the defensive side. It wasn't just matchups. So we'll find out, I'm sure, in the next couple of days.
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, Malcolm Butler's got every right to be upset. Because you don't – I mean, tradition is, right, you don't show up somebody in that spot, but usually that works out for Belichick. Now it didn't work out for Belichick in a way, right? So now we find out, now we wonder, okay, is Belichick losing his grip a little bit? Because remember when he did this, you know, you guys probably would remember after they won the first Super Bowl against the Rams at that point, the next year they basically gave a big you-know-what to Lawyer Malloy, and they cut him 4 days before this season opener, and then they got blown out, you know. Things didn't go very well, you know, and people started to say, well, Bill Belichick lost his grip. And then they were able to kind of refix that and win the Super Bowl 2 years later, you know, so all of a sudden everything was forgiven. Well, if next year, you know, if something happens with whatever with Malcolm Butler and they lose him and, you know, all of a sudden the Patriots fall apart, well, then people are going to say, well, see, Bill Belichick is losing his grip. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's, you know, he's not the mad scientist that we all thought he was.
joined by Chris Russell, our Redskins insider, host here on 106.7 The Fan. So Belichick gets outdueled in some ways by Doug Peterson, and Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl title as a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. Brings me back to the Redskins and your take on Alex Smith, because we haven't talked about it. Can Alex Smith make the throws that we saw Nick Foles make last night? Can we expect Alex Smith to be different than what Kirk Cousins has been the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I don't know if Alex Smith is going to be that accurate in that big of a spot, but I think he's going to be generally pretty accurate. I mean, the numbers would suggest that, you know, especially as he went along in Andy Reid's system. And remember, he was coached by Doug Peterson for a little while there. So here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out, right? Jay Gruden's got to, and maybe you guys disagree, Jay Gruden's got to allow the leash to be a little bit loosened on Alex Smith. I think he's going to let him go a little bit more. And what I mean by that is more up-tempo in offense, no huddle like we see with the Patriots, like we see with other teams. Up-tempo by design, not just in two-minute situations and all that. I think he's going to be more creative with him at the line of scrimmage, allow him more power, more authority, more checks, more audibles, all that type of stuff. And then I think the one thing that Alex Smith gives the Washington Redskins that maybe Kirk Cousins was getting better at, he certainly was getting better at, but is the ability to not only make plays with his legs as a runner, but make plays with his arm and his legs. And if that makes sense, Alex Smith is really good, I think, moving laterally off of boots, moving to his side and the sidelines, and then still throwing as coverage breaks down. I don't know if Kirk Cousins was great at that. Kirk got better at it, but Kirk wasn't great at it. So I think these are the things that Jay Gruden identified in Alex Smith that maybe Alex Smith can be better than Kirk Cousins at.
What else did you see watching that game when you're thinking about the Redskins? I brought up the fact that you see Alshon Jeffrey make those plays, and you just wonder, that's what they drafted Josh Doctson to do, and he's been very inconsistent.
Yeah, that, and boy, what a great tight end makes in an offense, right? I mean, we see Zach Ertz on that slant, ISO, one-on-one, man coverage in the end, and he just runs a slant, and if Jordan Reed is healthy, that's your guy. But what if Jordan Reed isn't healthy? You don't have that matchup, especially in the red zone. And Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, is just, you know, he got off to such a slow start this year, and then he cranked it up, and they gave him the big contract. I was kind of wondering if they were going to just let him dangle, but they locked him up late in the year, and he's just a beast. But the interesting thing is, to me, as good as Jeffrey was, as good as Ertz was, look, guys, the Redskins, I know I'm a broken record in this, they still can't run the football when they need to run the football. They still don't have, never mind one bruising back that can run it downhill when you need it. You know, the Eagles have two. You look at Ajayi, but you also look at LeGarrette Blount. Mm-hmm. Now, Ajayi was available via trade, and they didn't pay a whole lot for him. I think it was, a fourth-round pick because there were concerns about his knees. But LeGarrette Blount's been dangling as a free agent for how many years now? Mm-hmm. You know, and I always thought, why wouldn't you take a flyer on a guy like that? Okay, if he doesn't work out, if you can, you know, he can't get any more than a one-year deal. Nobody gives him more than a one-year deal. Why haven't the Redskins seriously pursued a guy like that who comes from a winning program, who understands how to work in the concept of a team like LeGarrette Blount has always done with the New England Patriots? Now you see the effect that he had on the Philadelphia Eagles. To me, these are the things that the Redskins very obviously are still missing.
Plus an unsung guy like Corey Clement added to that backfield
as well.
They
got so many weapons.
Yep.
They really do. Well,
see. I'll give them a little bit of a break because you have Chris Thompson in that regard. Clement basically would be, you know, would essentially be that. But they don't have the hammer. I mean, if they think Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine are the hammer, you know, those guys are fine occasionally. Not consistently, and that's the biggest problem, especially if you don't have a Jordan Reed. But think about how the Eagles overcame, right, guys? All the injuries. I mean, we talk about the Redskins, and Bruce is going, oh, it would be great if we had 23 guys coming back from IR. Okay, congratulations, Bruce. Your chief rival, or one of your chief rivals, just won the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback, their backup left tackle, new running backs across the board, their best scat player, if you will, and Darren Sproles out all year, their middle linebacker out all year. I mean, it's just crazy what the Eagles were able to do.
All right, Chris. Always love having you on. That's great. Chris Russell.
Thank
Check
you, buddy.
Out here on 106.7 The Fan. He's a Redskins insider.
Thanks, Rooster.
Appreciate you.
Yep.
Thank you.
They maybe didn't have the amount of injuries the Redskins had, but they didn't have their starting quarterback.
Who could have won the MVP had he stayed upright till the end of the season?
Oh, I mean, I clearly thought they were done. As soon as Wentz went down, that was it.
I saw Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I mean, maybe a
good one believed it.
You know, placeholder for a few games. Super Bowl MVP.
And they didn't have their Trent Williams. Jason Peters is their Trent Williams.
Yeah. Well, they had some great depth at running back once they made the Jair.
They're just better. I mean, I tip my cap to them.
They did a good job, man.
They deserve
it. They made some great personnel decisions.
They beat the champs. They beat a dynasty.
All right, coming up next, can
we switch gears better
and touch on the Wizards for a bit? Sure. John Wall.
Heater.
Been out.
Heater Central.
And there was probably the same reaction with John Wall going out to the Wizards as Nick Foles taking over for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. You're thinking, John Wall's
swoon.
Out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was listening to Grant Nanny, and Danny was all for the lottery pick.
Oh, he was ready to tank?
I think so.
Hey, who knew Sato was so silly?
And now they're
a hidden gem.
They've won four straight. What's their record without Wall?
Are they like it?
They were 7-6 before this, so I guess 11-6?
11-6.
I think they're 4-0 since the
6. But it's interesting. To me, they're taking some shots at John Wall. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back into the Super Bowl shortly. We have the Junkies Blitz coming up at 7:45. We'll go around the NFL. But the Washington Wizards, who the last several weeks we've been talking about because we've been scratching our heads as to why they're not winning more consistently, why they're losing to sub-500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
They lose John Wall, and all of a sudden they're streaking. They've won four in a row. And, of course, there was all that talk about tension in the locker room, whispers of the guys not getting along. There was a team meeting where the players, after the team meeting, said it was a disastrous team meeting.
That it didn't go very well.
All of a sudden, in their last four games, each of the games they've had 27-plus assists. In some of the games, they've had over 30 assists. A team that averages low 20s in assists. With John Wall, who's one of the best passers in the game.
Scoring's been spread out, too.
After the 122-119 victory over the Raptors, Marcin Gortat took to Twitter and wrote, "Unbelievable win tonight. Great team," in quotes, victory. John Wall then retweeted it with an LOL as if it was a veiled shot.
It clearly was.
At him.
How could it be anything else?
Clearly
and
was.
Then Bradley Beal has taken to this quote from a movie, Paid in Full, which starred Mekhi Phifer.
Okay.
Where he says everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it as a positive where he means the scoring's being spread around.
It obviously is.
They're passing the ball. He also said, I think the game before it, he was like, we figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it before, like the Gortat thing, saying it just felt like a shot at John Wall.
Also, I heard Gortat recently, maybe it was after the last game, the win against Orlando, where Gortat's first words out of his mouth were, we need John back. We need John. So
when did he say that?
It was during this win streak, during the four-game win streak. I'm not sure exactly what game it was after, but the first thing he said into the mic was, we need John.
I think that might be a response.
I don't know if he's a different guy social media than he is speaking into a mic.
It might be a response because Bradley Beal also, after the fourth win of the four-game streak in the locker room, he was kind of asked to explain the everybody eats thing. So after the third game, he was really positive. He said, we figured it out as a team. And it, to me, just watching it, felt like it's a shot at John Wall. and saying, you know, we're a better team spreading the ball around. Satoransky's played well. Tim Frazier had a game
crazy on the face of it because, but, I mean, John's number two in the league in assists.
Right. So the next game, I think Gortat and maybe Coach Brooks or somebody said, hey, look, you can't leave this out there like that, because then Beal went out of his way to kind of say, look, this is ridiculous. We're a better team with John Wall. Mm-hmm. And then he explained everybody eats this from the movie Paid in Full.
Yeah. Who knows what they actually mean when they send these dumb tweets out. But if you just look at the box scores and you look at the starting five scoring, Otto's really starting to score now. Like you mentioned Satoransky.
Markeith
is playing well.
Turning
Gortat.
It
we killed Gortat for a good 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And he was starting to play better. I mean, it is what it is. Now, maybe it's because, you know, John's, maybe he holds on to the ball. Maybe he kind of dishes the Brad and that's it. I don't know. But
it definitely
they are
looked like there was
out.
More ISO ball when John is playing. Here's the original comment. So this is after, I think, the third win of this four-game win streak.
That's Toronto.
Everybody eats. Everybody eats. That's our motto, man. Everybody eats when we move the ball. You know, but it starts on defense. You know, if we're all collectively on the same page defensively, and, you know, we're moving, we get out in transition, you know, get some easy ones, and then we're moving it. You know, that's fun basketball, man. Everybody gets a touch, everybody gets shots. It makes life easy.
He said it. He says everyone eats when we move in the ball.
Yeah.
What he said.
And he talked about defense. Now, if that's after the Raptors game, they gave up 119 in that game.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side, in two of the four games,
they
in
gave
the street,
up 96 against the Thunder.
They've given up 96 against the Thunder and 98 against Orlando.
It could just be a natural thing that happens when you have your two best players there and everyone else just kind of chills a little bit, goes on autopilot. So when John's not there, everyone knows they have to step up.
Autopilot? Like I see Otto. Well, Otto, when John's on the court, to me, he just kind of stands around the three-point line.
More passive.
And here, he's actually...
He's rebounding.
He's taking shots that... He's taking like shots like Dirk Nowitzki. Like he's one-footed, you know, like the one-legged fadeaway jumpers.
Well, why is
you don't
he doing
usually
that?
See Otto
why
do
Why can't
that?
He be aggressive when John's on the court?
Well, he defers to the superstar. I'm sure that's part of it. I think it happens on every team.
Yeah.
Like Klay Thompson is going to defer usually to Steph Curry and Durant, right? I mean, it happens.
Yeah, but Clay's still going to get his shots up.
You're clearly better when John's there, but when John's not there, everyone feels probably the pressure to have to fill the holes better.
And I wonder if this is sustainable, because I think it's garbage. I started seeing this because I did Wizards Overtime the other night, and on social media, like, oh, we're a better team without John Wall. Look at the assist numbers. Like, is it sustainable? It's been sustainable for four games. For four games, it's been a great run.
Yeah, let's see how this lasts.
Five of the next six
they need
are
to
on
do
road.
This yep. for basically a two-month period without John Wall.
Right.
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that Markieff Morris has played the five best games, four of them without John in a row that he has all year. He's put four
he's been
best
much more aggressive.
Consistent games together since John's been out.
And
Keith
and Otto,
reason.
If I mean, particularly Keith, hasn't played this year like he did last year. So
no,
a lot of people were making the argument that he wasn't healthy. I don't know.
But like Cake said, they got five out of the next six at home. They're going to play back-to-back.
On the road.
I mean, on the road.
Yep.
And they're going to play back-to-back games on the road against teams who would be in the playoffs right now, Indiana and Philly.
But if you look at the standings.
But they do play some poopies, dude. I mean, they're going to play Chicago struggling. They're playing the Knicks. Cleveland is just a disaster right now.
They're a half game behind Cleveland right now.
They're
in
a
standings.
Half game behind Cleveland.
They right could, now. They could, in the blink of an eye, be a three seed.
Yep.
Otto's just taking more shots.
Yep.
By the way,
line.
The Cleveland performance against Houston over the weekend was embarrassing.
Well, they just gave
it
up.
It was embarrassing. I almost felt bad for them. Almost.
I didn't.
Not quite.
I don't feel bad for LeBron at all.
I feel bad. Yeah.
LeBron brings in
It's their own fault.
Yeah, it's their own doing.
Whatever. I mean, LeBron hit three buckets in that game against Houston on national TV. That game should have been very competitive for four quarters.
It was a laugher.
I guess they can't blame Kevin Love now.
Right.
No, not for that performance.
Well, they're just a horrendous defensive team. Yeah. But that tells you that there's opportunity there. Look, the teams ahead of them are Cleveland, half game ahead of them. Cleveland's a complete mess right now. We all guess that they're going to turn it around, but their body language is horrible. There's more and more talk of LeBron wanting to leave Cleveland for
there's a report
the Lakers
that he and Dan Gilbert
who
are
convinced he's leaving.
Right.
Whereas before, I thought it was unfathomable.
It looks disastrous there in Cleveland. They just beat the Raptors without John Wall. They're the two seed. And the Celtics are the one seed who they beat on Christmas.
All right, that's
fine.
And
they get the Celtics here Thursday.
But, JP, you know it's different than, you know, playing in a seven-game series. It's a lot different.
I understand but my point is And this is what probably has
They've
frustrated Wizards fans.
They've always been able to beat good teams in a one-outer.
This is probably what has frustrated Wizards fans, is given the – they're not in the Western Conference, all right? If you're in the Western Conference and you're the Wizards, you've got no chance because you've got the Warriors and the Rockets and even the Spurs, right? But the Eastern Conference, it's wide open, so it probably – I think it's frustrating. This team could easily have a record similar to the Raptors.
Well, especially if they start beating the teams that they should be.
If you just look at the games that they've – crapped away like Phoenix, Dallas, well, look, this, Brooklyn twice. They lost to Brooklyn twice.
All I'd say, and look, the last time they played Orlando, they allowed 120 in that game. All right, and then they just pounded them over the weekend and allowed, what, 98 kicks?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they're playing well now. For whatever reason, they're playing well. Let's just see how, if it continues.
But does what the guys are saying, does that validate what some people were whispering about before, that there was locker room discontent? That something's up there. We keep saying something's up between Wall and
Beal. I still think
that
there's something going on there. We'll never know exactly what it is, but, you know, is it a coincidence that they're playing so well without him now? I don't know. No idea.
I don't care. I just like dubs. I like four-game win streaks when it comes to the Wizards. I don't care. Look, I'd love to have Wall back, but we're going to be without him for the next 6 or 7 weeks.
So
you
Wall,
gotta,
by
you
the way,
stay. You got to keep your head above water while he's out, and they're doing it so far.
Wall did retweet the LOL great team victory,
right,
and then he deleted it.
Right.
That's what these guys do.
Yeah.
Like, their initial reaction comes out, and then like, oh, let me delete it. Why even bother deleting them?
Well,
at this
because
point? Everything gets seen.
Well. Someone from
people
the team.
People screenshot
someone
everything.
Someone from the team probably said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, it always lives on
and,
in Twitter.
And Beal, he said, y'all reaching.
Right.
Look, there's something to
I'm
it.
I'm not sure we are.
There's something to it. There is a chemistry issue that's going on. But they're playing well right now. We've been waiting for them to go on a run, with or without John. Somebody sending me something that Satoransky, apparently, if you're big into these kinds of things, his turnovers per 100 possessions is like half of John's. So that could be one thing, protecting the ball a little better. But the fact of the matter is, Porter's getting more looks. Markieff is being more aggressive. The rest of the guys are stepping up. And sometimes that's what happens.
Well, they had one game where they had 8 guys in double figures.
Yeah. Look, the fact is, John does stand around a lot. He walks on the court more than any other player.
Statistically, number one in the league.
That doesn't help you.
More than a 40-year-old Dirk
Nowitzki.
He's
conserving his energy. Okay.
Yeah.
Conserving his energy.
I think
Let's
he's
back
banged
off
up
a bit here.
I think he's banged up, but I think other guys
knee
tend to
hurts
do too.
Okay.
And by the way, Satoransky, like defensively, he had that block shot on Russell Westbrook, right?
Yep.
Which was, look, John Wall's the best at chasing guys down and blocking shots, but Satoransky's taller.
He's 6'7".
He's a bigger guy.
He's a big
like
dude.
Against some of these point guards, he's a matchup problem.
Well,
for
whatever reason, it's working right now. Like Cake said, Wizards fans shouldn't care how it's being done.
He just
get it done.
Appreciate
right,
the
you
wins.
Think the Eagles are pissed that they won the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz?
Doesn't matter.
By the way, people in Indiana love basketball. 1,030 tickets available for tonight's game, starting at $4.
Right.
Really? Now, I know people in Indiana do love basketball. I get it. But apparently, they don't love this matchup with the John Wall-less Wizards coming to town. You can get a seat nice.
But they
cheap.
Are just a half game behind Cleveland for that 3 spot.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's crazy. I think Cleveland's lost 10 out of their
and
last
And I can't
14.
Imagine Cleveland getting much better. I mean, I don't think they're just going to flip a switch and all of a sudden just go on as a run and win 10 out of 12.
Well, they do have the talent, though. I don't know.
Do they? I mean, they got LeBron, but IT has been in a complete disaster since they got
him. Yeah, but he doesn't just suck. They'll just have to figure that
well,
out.
Well, he sucks this year. He can't hit a shot.
He's too talented. He hasn't been a fluke entire career.
No, but he had a hip injury.
Yeah,
that obviously has something to do with it.
Maybe.
Well, on paper, they got talent, but they can't put it all together on the floor.
And they got Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose off the bench.
Those two guys are broken.
Kyle Korver off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't, for whatever reason, they don't have as much as they had last year. Kevin Love's going to be out for a while.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. As you say, they got a bunch of road games. They got the Celtics on Thursday. We'll see how the Wizards continue to play. Everybody's eating right now. Hmm. We'll see if they continue.
When's the next one, you said?
Tonight, Ricky.
Tonight.
Then it's another game tomorrow.
Tonight's Indiana?
Indiana tonight, at Philly tomorrow.
Yeah.
At Philly might be a good spot to bet against the Wiz. Coming off back-to-back games, a lot of games compressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hoping to lose. I'm just saying it might be a good betting
Joel
spot.
Joel Embiid was jumping on live TV last night. I think he might be partying.
I kind of like that angle, too.
Partying about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Well, didn't he, after back-to-back games, fly out to Minneapolis or something?
Yes,
I thought I read something
like
that.
He went to the game, yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't just him. It was a couple other players, too.
By the way, quick props to Mike Scott from the Wizards, who paid for at least the plane ticket, if not the Super Bowl ticket, for one of the Wizards trainers, who's like a lifelong Eagles fan,
cool.
to go out to the game and watch his Eagles
nice.
Win their first Super Bowl.
Very nice. Classy.
Mike Scott, good dude.
All right, coming up next, we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz.
Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports. Time now to go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans, visit helppurpleheart.com. So before we get back into the Super Bowl, give you the latest on Kirk Cousins. News that the Redskins may want to tag him. It seems inconceivable. Maybe they do it. February 20th is when teams can start applying transition and franchise tags to their players.
Inconceivable!
Also some news that...
And they would do that because they would want to get some compensation without just completely letting them walk.
Well, they're on track to get compensatory, what they most people think is a third-round pick, but next year.
Right, that's 2019, right?
So they want
something in this year's draft, since they did give up one.
If they tag him, he would have to sign
the tag.
And he could wait.
And maybe he would to kind of tie them up a little bit, too, but
and wouldn't that
why
also,
not just wait?
Wouldn't it freeze $34 million of what they could spend in free agency? It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because they would have to make that money available.
It's not going to happen. Anybody want to take the bet?
I mean, no.
I don't think it is either.
Not going to happen.
But reports came out that the Vikings are allegedly Kirk Cousins' top choice in free agency if they're able to offer him the money that he's looking for.
He said that, but it doesn't matter what he says.
Seems like a nice landing spot. If I were Kirk Cousins, I'd like to throw the ball to Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, Dalvin Cook coming out.
But did he say that while he was in Minneapolis? The guy is Eddie Haskell. He just says, you know.
But if you're the Vikings, would you want him over Case Keenum?
Well, he might truly believe that.
Would you want Kirk over Case?
Yes.
But from the Vikings' perspective, Case already knows the offense.
I don't care. Kirk's a better player than Case Keenum.
He had very similar numbers this year.
He's a better player overall than Case Keenum. He just is.
What was the bit with him allegedly?
He is, but you never know how a new guy's going to fit.
Yeah, exactly.
I would agree. I think it'd be a great spot for him, but you just never know.
What was this bit? I know he talked to Mike Jones, and there's no chance Mike Jones paid him, but allegedly he was basically there only doing paid interviews. You saw that was reported, right?
No, I did not see that reported. I can't say I would do anything different, this guy is a mercenary in the highest degree.
What was he promoting, like Old Spice?
I don't know. He was doing Radio Row, and they said he was only doing paid interviews. Well, now, I know he spoke to Lindsay, and I know he spoke to Mike Jones, and that's probably just favors to old friends.
He showed up on a commercial last night for gas fireplaces.
He's not that selective when it comes to doing ads. Trust me.
He's also on the side of Vans for Virginia Tire and Auto.
Is he?
Have you guys ever seen those?
I've seen the commercials.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. That kid is all about the money.
Sure.
And I don't blame him. I probably would be,
right,
too.
You have a short shelf life in the NFL. Make as much as you can.
But
while
he tries
you can
to act
it.
Like it's not. It's about
of course,
the money.
Those spots always throw me off because the Super Bowl ads are all glitzy and have stars.
Right.
And you're seeing, you know, trailers from movies that look amazing.
And Kirk's had a bad Donald Trump impersonator. You saw that. The instant you saw it, you said, local ad.
Of course.
They snuck one in.
The local
ad. Well, they got to throw the locals in there.
Sure. Throw him a bone.
But it's 99% national. It's 99%, you know, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, of course.
Jeep and...
Yeah. Tide ads. Every time I turn around, it's a new Tide ad.
Who's that guy that's doing the Tide ad?
It's from Stranger Things.
From Stranger Things, yeah. I don't know his name.
David Harbour? His last name's Harbour. I don't know if David's the first name.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a sucker for all Mission Impossible movies.
I understand people were
more sized for, I guess... I missed it. The
Rock?
Star Wars.
Oh, the Star Wars. There's another Star Wars.
Of course, Richie.
Well, unbelievable.
Why would they stop?
Number 20?
All they do is mint money.
And it's just about Solo.
Han Solo. Yeah, the backstory.
What about the one with The Rock coming out?
Skyscraper?
Looks like Die Hard.
Looks terrible.
Doesn't it look just like Die Hard?
Just like it.
But again, it'll make $200-300 million
and
The Rock gets richer. But yes, I'm a sucker for Mission Impossible. You know why? I like stunts. I like explosions. I like big budget blockbusters. That's what I like.
But when that terrible Trump impersonator who can't hold a candle to like Frank Caliendo shows up, and then you see Kirk Cousins pitching gas fireplaces.
Now, what they did nail with the Trump impersonator was the super long tie. That part they got right.
What did Kevin review The Greatest Showman?
I think at one point, yes.
What did he give it? Because my mother wants me to see
probably
it.
Probably four. It's a musical.
It's a musical. Just
I don't mind a musical. Prepared. I don't mind it.
I think he gave it a four.
I don't mind musicals when it's done by people live. Musicals.
In a movie.
In a movie, I just don't get sliced. Yeah. La La Land, Blah Blah Land, not sliced.
I'm less inclined.
Well, I would never see that.
Well, I saw it, and I wish I had never seen
it. Why'd you see it?
Melania did not kick me out of the White House for installing coal-burning fireplaces.
It's not horrible.
Fake news.
I think
President.
Better than me.
Why are you throwing balls at my face, Kurt Cousins?
It's Kirk.
That's what I said, Kurt.
Never mind. I just saw your tweet.
It's actually kind of funny. I missed that part last night. What were we talking about?
He wasn't horrible.
Wasn't terrible.
I was wondering why you saw it.
My wife and I looked at it. It got all the critical acclaim. We said, we'll buy it for $5 and watch it. Not a fan.
Did she think
she
the same
didn't
thing?
Like it either. Right.
I liked it okay.
Yuck. Watch Give me out. More no. Ryan Gosling in Murder by Numbers. Thank you.
A couple tweets to
and
mention.
And Drive.
Pro Football Talk. Hey, folks, there definitely are well-connected people in NFL circles who aren't ruling out a Belichick retirement and Josh McDaniels getting the job.
Ooh, look at that.
Get distraught because I was starting to get excited about watching that Patriots offense.
Shouldn't we know
Luck.
That probably the next 24 to 48 hours?
You would think.
Maybe.
Because the Colts are waiting for McDaniels to roll in there and give a press conference.
Right. Again, the tweet from
they have a plan B.
ProFootballTalk.com. Yeah, right. Well-connected people in NFL circles aren't ruling out a Belichick retirement.
Aren't ruling it out, which means he'll think about it for a few days. He'll be back at it.
We were talking about some tweets, which are not overt shots, but they seem to be shots when we're talking about the Wizards situation. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's ex-wife, Bridget Moynihan.
She's taking shots now?
When hashtag, this come last night?
Hashtag Nick Foles is having an amazing game.
Oh, that's great. That's a great troll job.
It really is.
And then she did write, amazing game at Patriots. Congratulations at Eagles.
So does she hate Tom?
The story is they have a kid together, but then he started, while she was pregnant, that's when he started dating Giselle.
But I mean, they're co-parenting this child. She hates him still and is going to publicly troll him.
Why
it's
not?
Crazy.
Nick Foles is having
She might still be
game.
Salty.
It's crazy.
I mean she's just an NFL analyst.
Right. Was she tweeting when Eli was having good games against him?
I don't know. Super Bowl odds are out for the 2019 season. Shocker, New England, 5-1. The Fave, Philly, 8-1. Then you
2018,
got,
well, 19 Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. Then Green Bay and Pittsburgh at 10-1. Minnesota, 12-1.
Where's
Dallas,
Philly?
Atlanta, they were 8-1 second. Dallas, Atlanta, the Rams, New Orleans, 20-1 shots.
Where are my skins?
Houston, 22-1. San Francisco, 25-1. Look at that. San Francisco with your boy.
Is there a page two?
That's too high. It's too high.
The Washington Redskins are 70-1.
Travis loves long shots.
There are only seven teams below the Redskins.
Give them to me.
The Dolphins, Giants, Bills,
Browns.
Bengals, Jets, Bears, and Browns.
Welcome to the dregs of humanity, Washington Redskins.
T.O. gets into the Hall of Fame.
Thank God. He shouldn't have had to wait this long, but they finally put him in.
Did you watch a video of the guys getting the door knocked?
I saw Moss and I saw Ray Lewis.
I thought it was pretty cool, although it's so staged because there are cameras like inside and lighting inside.
Of course.
But Moss knew he was getting in. So Moss and Lewis knew they were getting
in. Joe Jacoby's waiting for the knock, didn't come.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Randy just gets Moss every year.
Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis, and Brian Urlacher with hair. I told you, he did one of those hair treatments.
He did it. He's got the hair back. Whatever.
Let me just say this in defense of Joe Jacoby, and I think the Veterans Committee will put him in.
Yeah.
But he's a three-time Super Bowl champion, went to four Pro Bowls, two-time first-team All-Pro. He was second-team All-Pro one time. He was part of the NFL 1980s All-Decade team. He was the anchor of the
He should have been years ago.
Why?
Bobby
it's just ridiculous.
Somebody asked Bobby Bethard about Joe Jacoby. He's like, wait a second. Joe Jacoby's not already in the Hall of Fame? What's
that? Bobby was oblivious
to it? I believe that was
crazy.
A quote that I saw.
Yeah.
He and a bunch of other people were like, hold on, Joe Jacoby's not in the Hall of Fame. What's happening here? Why hasn't he been elected?
By the way.
So now he has to bank on the committee.
The Veterans Committee.
Well, Jerry Kramer got in via Veterans Committee, so maybe he does.
By the way, maybe some of you guys had seen this before. I saw last night, late, as I'm kind of changing the channels, And I only watched a few minutes of it, but it was an interview with Marty Schottenheimer, who I guess has come down with Alzheimer's. Have you seen it?
No, I've not seen it.
I missed it.
Is it sad? Is he really
it's
lost
sad
it?
Sad in that he's talking about football and he seems like he's with it, and then they reference, he's saying, you know, they say, what's Marty Ball? And he's like, Marty Ball's running the football, not turning the ball over, blah, blah, blah. And then they say, well, what about the Elway Montana duel? And he goes, oh, that was great. And then his wife says something to him in the background. His wife's in the background. And he's like, yeah, I don't really remember that. And then at one point he talks about, there's a, what's your daily life? And he's talking about, well, you know, it's cold here in Pittsburgh. And he starts talking about Pittsburgh or something like
is
that.
Even
or
in
Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh?
Then the wife chimes in, we're in North Carolina.
Oh,
and he's like,
terrible.
Yeah, it's just, it's brutal if you get a chance. I mean, it's Alzheimer's.
It's life. Yeah, it's tough.
And just to let you know, the Hall of Fame class next year includes Ed Reed, Champ Bailey, and Tony Gonzalez will all be eligible.
Those are probably all first-teamers, first go-arounds.
I mean, Gonzalez was named to 14 Pro Bowls, Bailey 12, and Ed Reed 9.
Yeah, in.
And then in 2020, you've got Polamalu, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis. 2021, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson,
Reggie Wayne
Calvin
strikes
Johnson.
Me as a compiler, but maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm insane.
Yeah, a little
bit. He had some dominant years, though. I don't know.
I never thought of Reggie Wayne as one of the most dominant wide receivers
in
football.
He was never as good as somebody like a Randy Moss or even T.O.
Well, plus, he's overshadowed by playing with Harrison for so many years.
Right.
He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,000-yard seasons and 82 touchdowns.
And finally, a sad story.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson was killed early Sunday morning after being hit by a suspected drunken driver along the side of Interstate 70 in Indianapolis.
Awful.
I guess he had a driver, right, that pulled over because he wasn't feeling good, and then they got popped. They got hit from behind or something. And then I think the cop ran one of the two guys over.
Correct. When the body was in the middle of the road.
So terrible.
Yeah, it's just the worst. It's awful.
All right, coming up next, we'll get back into the Super Bowl. The Eagles pull off the stunner, get the upset win over the Patriots, 41-33. Keep it here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.